listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live. 200 stations, coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock right here in Vegas. Action-packed Monday for you. We're looking backwards. Weekend NBA action. What did we learn? Looking forwards. Tonight's game, the NFL draft. What a week. Joined in studio, solo, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Jonas, I knew one day this might happen. Jonas Knox in L.A. Fezzik's not here.
I'm looking everywhere for him.
I mean, he gets Tuesday off for senior day, the rest. But he made such a production about Oklahoma City, OKC. Lost game one. He said, no problem. No problem. Portland just got lucky with threes. Lost game two. No problem. Portland's lucky with threes. Won game three, all smiles. And remember, after game two, he put multiple thousands of dollars on OKC again. He bet him before the series, bet him when they were down 0-2. I questioned him on air about, you know, he has a boy, one child. Was he risking too much bankroll? Was his child's, you know, very education, his nutrition? I don't know if you know this, but organic food, very important to a young child, some believe. And now Fezzik's gone. Brad, did you try to call him?
I did. No answer.
No answer. No. I texted him, emailed him. Now listen, some might say, was this like a Breaking Fox story? Fezzik's gone.
I'm not sure.
Now, that actually segues into the point, is the producers in L.A. said this story, Fezzik's, let's call him MIA?
Yep.
I'm missing in, he lost his action, might be a way to, almost lost his action. We'll see. It's still 3-1, but he must be taking it hard. There's actually theme music to this story, and we're going to keep you updated. Here's the theme music.
And while Steve Fezzik weeps and we can't seem to find him, we think we may know what is behind the disappearing act of Steve Fezzik, as his beloved Oklahoma City Thunder have fallen yet again. They are now trailing 3-1 to the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers, a 111-98 win last night. RJ, outside of Fezzik, what the hell do we make of the OKC Thunder?
I got to tell you the truth. I think that you can be as drastic as almost humanly possible about being negative to OKC in the playoffs, and maybe you're not too drastic. This is a team with Westbrook at the helm specifically hasn't won a playoff series. And I also believe, though, that some of the reactions, and we got sound today from Colin Cowherd, some of the reactions are just plain wrong. They seem like, well, wait a minute, RJ, you're saying you can be super drastic. Yes, you can be drastic about something very specific. I think Colin is wrong about how big he's being drastic about. Let's hear what Colin said.
Westbrook's never been built for the postseason. There's three reasons why. A, Westbrook doesn't adapt. He's a human tornado. He's got one speed. Second thing is, playoff basketball is about coaching. Well, Westbrook's very, very difficult to coach. He's inflexible. His personality's inflexible. His game is inflexible. And number three is he's volatile. He is now, without a doubt, a liability to the franchise. I can make an argument. He's one of the 10 worst contracts in sports.
Okay. I agree with him about the playoffs, and we'll talk about that in a second. But let me ask you this question. I think OKC would re-sign that Westbrook contract instantly. Let's say that they somehow, Westbrook looked at him and said, you know, guys, we're not going to, you know, we're not winning in the playoffs. If you want to let me out of this contract, I'll get out today. Lawyers are here. We'll write up the addendum right now. Why wouldn't OKC take that? Here's why. What's the alternative? If you're in one of the smallest markets and what you know you're going to get is a guy who is going to get, I don't know, top five attention in the NBA. I mean, it strikes me that if we use Colin's show, The Herd, in my opinion, the leading show in sports talk radio, as a gauge, it was LeBron one. Who got talked about second most?
Probably Westbrook.
I think he may be. Now, listen. Jonas doesn't like Colin. Colin doesn't like Westbrook. I don't understand the chain of pain that goes on. But I do know that even on other shows, top five for sure, Westbrook. Now, objectively as, hey, I'm talking to the wife, Sally. Sally, you want to watch the OKC game if you live in Oklahoma City or you're a fan? Or your son, hey, Bobby, let's watch this game. Where's OKC rank as top X teams just for quality of play? Certainly top 16, right? They made the playoffs legitimately. So they're in the top half of the league. I mean, listen, you look at the Minnesotas of the world. You look at Seattle. Seattle before, but if you look at Sacramento, I mean, some of these small markets, they don't make the playoffs year after year after year. Phoenix had a nice run. Now, how long are we moving on Phoenix? Just not even sniffing the playoffs. If you tell me in a market like OKC, we're going to be discussed on national radio a lot. We're going to make the playoffs seemingly every year. And it's going to be fun to root for our team because our star tries so hard. Because we know Westbrook tries so hard. And he's fun to watch because he's one of the best players in the league. I get it. The ultimate goal is a title. Listen, I got to be honest with you. A lot of guys are married to ladies that wasn't their first choice. They went a long time saying, what about that one over? Oh, she said no. What about she said no. You said yes? Let me think about it. Okay. I'm 37. All right. I mean, let's be honest. This is a world often of second choices, third choices. Colin's right. If your ultimate goal is to win a title, OKC probably doesn't have the foundation for that right now. But in every other metric, and Jonas, let me ask you if this makes sense. And again, how fun it is to root for your team. Your team being good, maybe not great, but good. To being discussed, being part of the conversation. OKC is doing so much better than the typical small market. Westbrook, though not ideal because of the playoff issues, is a player that a small market team is lucky to have. What do you think, Jonas?
I agree. I actually, and it compares a little bit to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals in the NFL. They have not won a Super Bowl, but they've made a lot of playoff appearances. And if you were to ask any NFL fan, would you rather go to the playoffs once, lose for 2-3 years like most teams do, and then maybe get back, or do what the Chiefs and the Bengals did for a short time every year that you would just put them in pen, they were going to the postseason. I think to be in the conversation, to be competitive, there's something to it.
Yeah, and I would make the case, and this could be a whole other segment, that structurally in the NFL, every team has a chance. It's about ownership. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, what with the cap the way it is in the NFL, I think players and the fact that there's not a, the thing that changes the NBA is the max contract. There's 10, 12, 15 guys that could make a lot more than the max. You know, how much is Durant worth? Is he worth half of a salary cap? Maybe, but they got a capper on it. So now the question is, where am I going to have the best chance to win? That's why probably Durant went to Golden State. Where am I going to get the most profile? LeBron to L.A. What can fit some storyline? LeBron to Cleveland. There's all these, who's going to let, which team is going to let my buddies be on the plane so we can play craps late at night on that cross-country trip? So to me, one of those factors is the living experience in a city. Imagine being, you know, a 6'5" African American, or how tall is Westbrook?
6'3".
All right, so maybe with him, not so much, but a lot of these NBA players are so tall, it's like you just naturally going to gawk at them. Someone like that walking around L.A. gets a quick glance, and then there's Al Pacino over there. In Oklahoma City, not the same living experience. So many reasons, I think, in the NBA, once the contract is the same for all the superstars, that makes it hard for the small markets to win.
And I also think that and to your point where you said, if they could do it all over again, would they still sign Westbrook to that contract? 100% they would. You got to figure out where they were at that time. Durant had just burned them. They were looking at themselves as a small market team. If we can keep a superstar here, let's do it. I think the better question is, if they could go back in time when they had Harden, Westbrook, and Durant, who do they choose to keep then? Because I think if you were to ask them that now, they would say we'd probably deal Westbrook, seeing how he's progressed, and keep Harden.
Except Harden was the first. Remember, it wasn't Harden for Westbrook. It wasn't Harden for Durant. It was Harden for Ibaka. They kept Ibaka. The choice was for Ibaka back then.
Yeah, they felt it fit their team needs better.
Yeah, so I mean, but you bring up a great point, Jonas. OKC in those drafts in which they took Durant, Westbrook, Harden, and they drafted Ibaka too,
yes,
right?
If
I recall. I would make the case, and maybe I'm wrong, and let's just see just off the cuff if we can find an alternative. Has any team drafted a better core in a 3 or 4 year period, in which at that player's prime, would OKC be the best team in history?
Yeah.
I mean, if we could just have a computer game that said you get any 5 year period of your drafting, and then you get the player in their prime in this computer game, who beats OKC?
The Nobody. Only team that comes close from a core standpoint is Golden State, because Thompson, Curry, Draymond Green were all drafted, and they play well together. But from an elite...
But that doesn't compare to those four.
I agree. An individual standpoint, you can go back to all the great big threes, and there was a trade, or there was a signing, or something attached to it. These were all homegrown, drafted guys that they had at one time.
And I would make a major bet right now, Westbrook retires without OKC winning a title. So what it tells you is, if you're the GM, if you're the fan in OKC, or any small NBA market, you can draft better than any team in history, and you probably still won't win a title. Mm. Because soon enough, one, two, or three of those guys are going to want to be out of there, because they don't want to live in Oklahoma City when they can live anywhere they want. And because of that sad reality, uncompetitive reality, Westbrook at OKC, just imagine if they traded him 4 quarters for $1, got 4 decent players back. How much would we be talking about OKC next year?
Not much.
About as much as Phoenix. I don't think the Phoenix Suns were mentioned on this show one time. So the over-under would be a half a mentions for Oklahoma City. Interesting stuff. I do agree, lastly, with Colin, that the way these 7-game series go, that your ability to be academic, attentive, nuanced with the changes in between games, it's another reason Westbrook not really suited for the playoffs. The main reason, and we've said it many times, he's so intense. You add the extra pressure of the playoffs, maybe it gets to be too much for him. When we come back, we're going to break down the rest of the weekend's action in the NBA and tell you what it means moving forward.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look at another team who is on the verge of advancing to the next round of the NBA playoffs.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 78 degrees. And the neon is flowing.
Yesterday, the Golden State Warriors took a 3-1 series lead over the LA Clippers, a 113-105 win in LA. RJ, what was the Vegas takeaway from what we saw out of Golden State on Sunday?
Yeah, obviously big road favorites in those games. Covered one, didn't cover the other one. Brings up an amazing trend, Brad, is a lot of people say, and it's once they start gambling and they start thinking about it a little bit, they say, and you can tell by the voice I use, this isn't me talking, the spread doesn't matter. Just pick the team's winner, and it's 84% of the time, blah, 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 blah. The spread matters, buddy, because there's a reason if you could get plus six or an even money or even point spread, you could get, you know, big plus money. They're not giving you that plus money out of the generosity of their heart. It matters. But it doesn't matter as much, at least when you observe it. The spread doesn't matter as often as you. It probably feels like it should. But this NBA playoffs, it's been shocking how little the spread has mattered.
Yeah, and so far there's been 30 NBA playoff games, RJ, and the spread hasn't mattered in 28 of them. So if you just pick up the straight up winner out of
you
the
pick
30,
the winner.
Just pick the winner of the game. Who's going to win this game?
28 out of 30 covered the spread.
Yeah, 28, 1-1.
And one push.
Yeah, one push.
Wow. Now, let's think about what that means if the spread doesn't matter. That means the underdog wins the game straight up. Obviously, they cover because they're plus points. Or the favorite wins by enough to cover. And the only exceptions was a push. So one more point, and it would have been another win and cover. And then the other game was how many points?
Only missed it by a point as far as a push. So 2 points. The Golden State game yesterday missed the cover by a point. So just one more bucket, and it would have been
so
three,
like,
you know.
Like 3 points spread, yes, judiciously between two games.
Yes.
And 30 out of 30 times, the winner of the game would have covered the spread.
Yep.
Now, why is this happening? I've got a theory. My theory is that teams are thinking about these games, and I think this is intelligent, more as a seven-game series. And sometimes they're flat and sometimes they're not. It's almost like college football bowl games.
Yep.
If you can kind of pick who's going to be hot, who's going to be motivated, might be the better word, the team, you pretty much pick the winner. And in the college bowls, oftentimes you see 20, 30, 40-point blowouts because the motivation is so disparate. There's so much difference in the motivation. It feels like some of these NBA playoff teams, when they get down big or even coming in, they're just flat and almost like college bowls. If you get a motivated team against an unmotivated one, you have a lot of blowouts. What do you think?
I think it's spot on. And at least it makes a lot of sense because at least for a majority of the series, it's going to be, you know, whatever point in the game, you know, wave the white flag. Let's move on to the next game. Why extend a lot more energy in that game when you got more games coming up?
That's Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Fezzik missing in action. He's got a big loser night OKC series. Who's to say? If you see him on the street, let us know. We're just wishing for the best. We'll keep you updated. Okay, last thing on this Golden State series. Actually, two quick last things. One, I think because Houston's on the brink of a sweep, Golden State in game five at home is going to be extra motivated, because imagine they win, they're sitting at home waiting for Houston. If Golden State loses, now back to LA, play another game, then come back home. I think if it was two home games in a row for Golden State, maybe not as much motivation, but having to travel if they lose, I think really motivates Golden State.
It absolutely does, in my opinion, because let's face it, we'll talk about this game later tonight. Houston's got a chance to wrap up their series much quicker than expected against the Jazz.
Jonas, question for you. You've been really on this Clippers infrastructure, Clippers built for the future. Maybe I'm old school, but I, even without Magic, I look at that Lakers, and I think whenever the Lakers are relevant, they're going to be so much more relevant than the Clippers. Someone like Leonard from Toronto, do you really believe that with, again, back to a max player that has his choice, he's going to get the max wherever he goes, Leonard? Now the question is how good your life is and other factors. Do you really think the Clippers are better built for the future?
Yeah, I think they're better built, especially for Kawhi Leonard. Just his personality, he's not about the spotlight. He's not about a lot of that stuff. He's never been. Even his shoe deal, I think he's with New Balance. Everybody else is doing Nike and Adidas. He goes the opposite. I just think that he would rather go to a place that, look, they're already a good team. They made the Western Conference playoffs, and that was after a midseason trade that everyone thought they were in the tank for. If I were Kawhi Leonard and I'm looking at teams around the NBA, seeing a team that's already somewhat established because they're there, being able to be that guy to put them over the top, I think, is attractive.
So what you're saying is, if you're the Clippers PR person, you can say, if you want to play and not get too much attention, and if obscurity is your goal,
yep,
the Clippers are the answer.
You got to
otherwise go Lakers.
Right, you got to sell to who you need to sell to. That's how it works, guys. There is one team that is already on to the next round of the playoffs. That's the Boston Celtics. 110-105. They get the sweep over the Pacers on Sunday. Boston on to the next round. RJ, what's the Vegas takeaway on the Seas?
Now, if Fezzik does show back up soon, I'll have to pay him on this bet. I thought the Pacers had a chance here. And obviously a sweep, you could make the case, oh, a sweep, it doesn't get worse than that. I'm going to make the following case, that if you actually look at those series results, those individual games, that there was only one game the Celtics won by double digits. And in even some of those games where it was like a 6 or an 8 point margin of victory for Boston, you know, I think it was game two.
Yep.
The Pacers were up by two, like with 50 seconds left.
They were.
And they lose by 6 or 8 or whatever. Yeah. And they ended up covered. And by the way, Boston covered all four of these spreads, but two of them by like a half a point.
Yes.
So on one hand, you got Jonas and our pre-show production meeting was saying, hey, Irving, that guy you can jump on his back and take you to the promised land, is the difference in the Celtics team. Maybe. But boy, this felt like almost out of Hollywood Central casting to have a 4-game sweep for Boston. So everyone's like, oh, problems are over. And to cover every game. So for the batters, you bet Boston, you get paid. Get paid. 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 Nothing makes you happier about a team than every time you bet them, you get paid. 4 out of 4 for Boston. If you dig into that series, hey, if you advance, congratulations. Not as impressive as it seemed.
Yeah, and I'm Mr. Boston. The bet between Fez, you, and myself, you took the Toronto Raptors,
Who's going to win the East was the question.
Who's going to win the East? Fez took the Bucks. I took the Celtics, and this was about a month ago, so I'm Mr. Celtics. They just pulled a sweep, but I'm not feeling that much happier about the bet that I made, RJ, than prior to this series. A slight upgrade for the Celtics, not a big one.
I'm going to be cautious.
The Toronto Raptors have a 3-0 series lead over the Orlando Magic. Or so 3-1 over the Orlando Magic. Toronto, a 107-85 win on Sunday. What do you make of your Raptors, RJ Bell?
I got to be honest. I think Milwaukee's been so shockingly impressive that whatever distance I felt like there was, and I thought it was small between Milwaukee and Toronto, it's grown for me. But if you look at the odds to win the East and the Eastern Conference in the NBA, it's really close. Toronto's right behind. So the market really likes Toronto. Obviously, having Leonard as your go-to guy, as the guy that's been to the promised land, has helped this team. It still feels like, and this is something I haven't talked about on air yet, and I think we'll just talk about it in the right times as these series progress, but I'm going to touch on it now quickly. How much interest is there during free agency when someone's going to sign somewhere or not versus like these games themselves? It's almost like when the games are going on, we're thinking, oh, that's kind of boring. I'm not that big of a basketball fan. Like, how many of these guys are down at the intramural leagues, you know, watching summer leagues? I'm not talking about NBA summer leagues. I'm talking about some small town. They all have summer leagues watching basketball. There's not the love of the game. It's the drama. It's the box office, as Stephen A. says. And what is box office for the NBA? Is it the games themselves? Or is it all the speculation? What Instagram model is this player going out with? Etc. Where's this player going to go? Is Durant going to New York? And I think it infects the players. When the chips are down, is Leonard willing to do anything to win? Or is in his mind, hey, these guys are my quote-unquote teammates, but soon enough, I'm out of here. And my future's in LA probably with the Clippers, but still. So it just feels like that Toronto isn't built to care about winning a title more than anything else. And I'm not sure you can win a title without that mentality. We'll keep an eye on it. But boy, I think it's a problem for the Raptors.
The 76ers have a 3-1 series lead over the Brooklyn Nets, a wild one over the weekend. That series resumes tomorrow night.
It just feels like too much talent. But to me, the same problems, and Brad, you can tell me what you think, that I suspect the Sixers have, team chemistry, Embiid being less than 100%. It feels like against a better team, it's going to be problematic. Just the talent gap between the Sixers and Nets is too much.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed from the series, Jared Dudley, he's the I would say almost the goon on Brooklyn, the guy that
goon is in like the
yeah
enforcer.
The enforcer. And what he's done, obviously, it's been a lot of, you know, the play in between him and Ben Simmons. I think it's kept at least the 76ers focused the last couple of games, RJ. And I think that's been a positive. His interplay, calling out Ben Simmons, getting into a fight in game four, has actually been a benefit for a 76ers team. Sometimes we question their motivation.
Which in the playoffs, you shouldn't. But I think that's part of the Sixers' fundamental issues.
The 2-7 matchup out West sees the Spurs and the Nuggets tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 coming up tomorrow night in Denver.
Yeah, got to give Denver credit. Fezzik, again, still MIA. He made some interesting points about Utah, and we'll be talking about that game in about 20 minutes tonight. These altitude teams, Denver and Utah, benefit so much from having multiple games a year where the opponent's in just such a bad spot because it's a back-to-back at altitude the second game, that their record's a little inflated, but still Denver in game 2 was down big in the third. They fought back. They were down big in game 4, fought back, and now Denver is actually favored. A lot of people might question this, but tied 2-2, the Nuggets are minus 170 to win the series.
Guys, so we have a couple of matchups coming up later on that we will take a look at coming up tonight. But right now, for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Byer.
Yeah, getting you set for a double dose of hoops tonight. Bucks, Pistons, 8 Eastern in a game 4. Milwaukee looks to sweep there. Rockets and Jazz, 10:30 Eastern time tonight. Now, there's a game 5 tomorrow between the Sixers and Nets in Philadelphia. Nets forward Jared Dudley fined $25,000 today for escalating the on-court incident in game 4 against Philly. Sixers guard Jimmy Butler was fined $15,000 for his actions in escalating the incident. Sixers center Joel Embiid, by the way, wouldn't say if he'll play in Game 5 against the Nets tomorrow because of his sore knee. Some news from college basketball. Virginia guard Kyle Guy is leaving school early to enter the NBA draft, and he will stay in the draft while high school basketball prospect Cassius Stanley has chosen to play his college ball at Duke, likely giving the Blue Devils the top recruiting class in college hoops in 2019. The Buffalo Bills have signed former Jaguars running back T.J. Yeldon to a deal. Well, the NFL Network says the Colts, Chiefs, and Jets have spoken to the Seahawks about trading for defensive end Frank Clark. Seahawks GM John Schneider said today they've listened to offers for Clark as the team is doing their due diligence. And the Redskins hold the 15th overall pick in Thursday's first round of the NFL draft. Senior VP Doug Williams says it's not out of the realm of possibility they take a quarterback despite acquiring Case Keenum this offseason. Red Sox and Tigers postponed tonight in Boston. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow at Fenway. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a closer look at the doubleheader in the NBA playoffs coming up later on tonight. I am Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Dedicated listeners, remember last week, what drama when it came to Game of Thrones. I didn't want to do it. I'm not a huge fan of the show. I don't dislike this show. I don't judge those that do. There's this whole kind of, you like, you know, Sopranos, Game of Thrones. No, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Yeah, I watch some bad shows. So we ended up having a vote, a Twitter vote to say, should we spend 1 minute a week doing Game of Thrones odds? It was 50-50 with thousands of votes. But by a few votes, the yes won. But that was a compromise. No discussion, no personal thoughts from Brad on which of the dragons, you know, he likes better or one's dead or whatever. Just the numbers, baby. And we've made a commitment. It's only going to be 1 minute a week. So not till we start, Brad, but you got the clock. Jonas, real quick.
I do have it on good authority, some inside information, that it was Brad's vote for yes that pushed it over the top to where we talked about.
Is that
true?
Yeah,
that Brad voted yes, and that's why we were able to talk about it here on the show.
Wow. Yeah. All right, here we go. Let's start the music. So here's the question. Who sits on the Iron Throne? I don't know how to pronounce some of these people, so jump in, Jonas.
All right.
The leader right now, and he surged from number 2, Jon Snow is the new leader, plus 275. The former leader, Bran Stark, now plus 450. So there's been a flip at the top. We got Sansa Stark, plus 500. Then we've got this fellow, Tyrannus Daragoni. Is that how you say it?
It's a new dinosaur, actually. It's Tyrion Lannister.
Yes. Yeah. No. It's not Lannister.
Oh, Daenerys Targaryen.
Yes, it's Targaryen.
A woman. She's a woman.
All right. Yeah. Miss Targaryen, plus 550. Then someone named Gendry, plus 650. We're going overtime here. The Night King, 12-1. What do you think, Jones? It seems like a show you'd watch.
It is a good show. I got to be honest.
You like it?
Yeah, I'm not into the warlords and Star Trek and space invaders and all that crap.
You're saying like the cool parts of it is what you like.
It's a really good show. Yeah, look, it's a little nerdy, but then you see some of the violent scenes and you go, all right, this is a little different.
That redeems it.
Yes.
The needless violence and incest is what redeems it for you.
Of course. Got to have a little bit of an edge, you know, brings everybody together.
Just a little bit.
Yes.
All right, guys. Now, here you can take a solace with the following. We do about 200 minutes of radio a week. 199 has nothing to do with Game of Thrones. Speaking of that, when we come back, we're going to have both NBA games tonight. there's a possible sweep in Vegas. You'll be shocked at this, has a strong opinion about teams up 3-0 in an NBA series.
And that's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. It was set to start in about 12 minutes from now, the Phillies at the Mets, but we've got a rain delay. They are currently in a rain delay, so you do have some extra time to get this pick in, because right now the Mets and Phillies, right, the Mets are a slight favorite, RJ.
Yeah, and I actually like the total a little bit here. We cover every game, which is on major TV. You got Arrieta, and his ERA this season, obviously he won the Cy in 2015. His ERA is just above 2. So he's back to form after some down years. You look at the Phillies lineup, multiple players out. What does that affect? That affects hitting, obviously, more than their defense, which isn't as important. Wind blown in, and as you said, with the weather and the rain being a question, not conducive really to scoring. So if I had to play this game, and I probably won't, so this is just a lean, I think under 8.5 is the way to go, Mets Phillies.
We got a doubleheader in the NBA on TNT. They resume the Bucks and Pistons at 8 Eastern time. Right now, Milwaukee looking for the sweep, a 13-point favorite.
And let's talk about sweeps. A lot of people, my dad, 30-plus years in the coal mines. Let me tell you, you don't come back from a 10-hour shift in the coal mines too happy. Jonas, you might be able to relate to this. They literally, you know, the mines had, and I think they still do when they're open, is three shifts, right? You have your day shift, you have your swing or afternoon shift. Mm-hmm. Now, for you, swing, that's a whole different thing you might be thinking of. That's the afternoon. And then there's the midnight shift, right?
Yes.
So my dad was on 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, which is horrible because right when you start getting used to sleeping at a certain time, now you got to swing at 8 hours. So there used to be bars in the Ohio Valley where I grew up that would open at 8:30 because the midnight shift was getting off work, and those guys wanted nothing more than to go straight home. So they'd go to the bar, get their 4 or 5 drinks in, then they'd go home. All right?
That's a good
so
move.
I can tell you, people like that would look up at the little TV and say, you're telling me that guy who's getting paid millions of dollars to play a game isn't going to be motivated? What? In the playoffs? Well, I'll tell you this, Brad. If you look at the numbers, Vegas, which has millions of dollars at stake, they say when a team's down 2-0, they play so much differently, with so much more passion and so much better basketball than when they're down 3-0. When they're down 3-0, Vegas believes the team has given up. Give us the numbers to back it up.
Yeah, and first and foremost, teams down at home, down 3-0, have only covered since 1995 about 42% of the time.
Yeah, that's boring. So less than 50. Tell me how the market has changed. So let's use, for example, let's start with the Bucks game. The Bucks at Pistons, what was the line in game 3?
Bucks were a 9-point favorite.
Okay. Now, same Bucks team, same Pistons team. The only difference is now the Pistons are down 3-0. What's the line?
Milwaukee's now a 13-point favorite. 4-point difference.
So there's a 4-point adjustment. If we look back at the Celtics and the Pacers, in game 3, the Celtics were what?
+3, yep.
A 3-point underdog. In game 4, same teams, Celtics was 3.5. So it was like a 7 or 6.5-point swing. Unbelievable. So, and just to get to it, Rockets Jazz in game 3, Rockets were +2, 2-point underdogs. Now they're a 3-point favorite. So the Vegas is saying by upwards of 4, 5, 6 points, they downgrade the team that went from 0-2 in the series to 0-3. So unless there is a true lack of energy, effort, unless there is a sense of giving up with those 0-3 teams, then you can make a fortune betting on the 0-3 teams because it's the same team that was just giving points is getting, you know, points. But like you said, betting those teams with the O, you know, that could get swept has actually been less than 50%.
Yep.
So the adjustment hasn't even been enough. Bucks, Pistons, any other thoughts in that game?
Well, big road favorites, believe it or not, RJ, have been very profitable. Last 7 years in the NBA playoffs, if you're backing road favorites that are seven or more, 7-point favorite or more, how about this? 19-2 against the spread, RJ.
Wow. That scares me so much because you're betting with Freddie Fanny Pack. 19-2 is crazy. So let's just say that one more time. You're favored by seven or more on the road in the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
Last 21 times, 19-2 against the spread, 21-0 straight up. Wow. I lean Bucks. I just don't want to lay all that lumber. But we've been right. The Bucks have really stretched their legs. Where a more veteran team gets up, they're not as worried about margin. Milwaukee's young. They're like they're running out in the like a horse running out in the field. It feels like they really got so much youth and energy. Milwaukee's not going to let up. So I would lean that way. Rockets, Jazz, I think the Rockets got their mind focused on wanting to get ready for Golden State, and they want to get this series over with. So I would lean Rockets. But once again, that's who the public's playing, and I hate being with Freddie. I'd rather watch Freddie eat his Twinkies.
The Odd Couple is next. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas! Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.